When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Hi guys, and welcome back to TR Tuesdays. It is your girl TR, your favorite scholar and host. Today on TR Tuesdays, I have something really special for you guys. I brought out a few guests to share their experiences on pregnancy and having a baby. Also, these moms are going to offer some tips and tricks on how to better navigate pregnancy. Before we get into these guests, I'm going to do my did you know and go through some questions and comments from last week's episode. Did you know that Mother's Day was born from Anna Jarvis? Her mother had actually organized multiple women's groups to promote friendship and health, and she thought that we should just have a day of celebrating mothers. Boom. Mother's Day came into fruition May 12th, 1907. And we've been celebrating it ever since. Some questions I had from last week's episode were about breastfeeding. I thought it was very necessary to address a couple of these just because breastfeeding can be very tricky. Is it true babies play with one titty as they suckle milk from the other? Oh my God, yes, mothers, this is so true. My baby will literally be sucking titty from the right as she's playing with the left. I go, she's warming that left titty up. My boobs drip with milk all the time. Is this normal? Did your boobs ever drip? Yes, literally during the first 2 months after my baby was born, my boobs were so engorged with milk that they would just drip. Literally, it was so painful, like, that I couldn't even massage my own self because it was like I'm inflicting pain on my own self. My man would literally have to rub them and massage them and milk me like a cow, he would say, like, and they would just drip with milk. When I would pump, I would get like 6 ounces per titty. I had so much milk. Okay, I had a couple comments that I really liked. I really appreciate the support. So I really love when people come on here and give me positive feedback, like the following. I love that you are helping other parents because children are very expensive and every parent can benefit from help. So this comment was particularly addressed to my whole new idea of parents helping parents. As you guys heard last week, that through Problem Solved, and I partnered with some other companies as well, that it really took off. People are really loving this, that I'm going to help one family quarterly, no matter your income, because like this person said, kids are expensive. And as you'll hear from a couple of these mothers, they say kids are expensive. So everybody needs help and your income shouldn't matter. Somebody else commented, I want to see you win. I love everything that you are doing. I really appreciate that. I want to see myself win too. And your support helps me get to that level that I consider I've won or I'm winning. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back with my first mom of the day right after this.
Who the fuck you think you talking to, nigga? Fuck me, nah, nigga. Fuck you, nigga. Dear fuck, nigga, still can't believe I used to fuck with you. Popping, playing bees, because I ain't playing to be stuck with you. Damn, I see you still kicking with them hot bitches. I'm the only reason that your goofy ass got bitches.
All right, Rachel, welcome to TR Tuesdays. I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, girl. Okay, so the reason why I wanted you to be a guest is because I feel like as a new mom, it's really hard to be like a good mother or to like feel like you're doing it right. And like, honestly, I feel like all this doubt stemmed from my pregnancy and the whole birthing experience that I had. So I thought it would be beneficial if like the people could hear from different mothers about their birthing experience and any challenges or tips they have on motherhood in general.
Okay, yeah, no, I definitely don't mind sharing.
Cool. And you have 3 kids, right?
Yes, 3 kids.
Okay, cool. So I think like there's a difference if like, you know, you raising your kid with your man or if you're like a single mother. Because I got some single mothers also on this episode. So I want to start by asking, like, are you raising your 3 kids with the father of your children?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. Do you feel like it's a difference if you have a 2-parent household versus a 1-parent household?
It's a huge difference. There was a moment in time where I wasn't with my partner, and it was extremely difficult. So I definitely give praised, you know, single mothers who are doing it on their own. And it's hard to try to make adjustments to figure out what you need to do to support your children. And especially if you don't have that extra help, it could be mental too, a mental health issue. So I think having a partner, it helps, but you know, that's not always an option for everybody.
I was saying, I was agreeing with you, like, definitely it's hard. I feel like I'm watching, I have a friend who's a single mom. She only has one kid and this fool want three more. I'm like, I don't want any more. It seems like real hard. And I have a partner as well. Yeah. All right. So I want to go back though to the birthing experiences. So I don't know if you want to talk about all three or what, but let's just start from there.
Okay. Well, all three of mine were very similar. All natural, no epidural. I just went in there, started pushing. The only difference is, you know, how it came about. Like for my first, I was just having like the cramps in my back and I couldn't sleep. I went to the hospital and then I gave birth, I think like 8 hours later.
Oh, really? Your first one? And see, yeah. My first one was 8 hours. Honestly, because you have an epidural, I feel like having a baby natural, that maybe like increases the baby coming out. I want to say, now I'm starting to think, did you want to have it without epidural? Did you plan that way? Like you thought you could do the pain? Or
that was my plan, because my sister's a nurse and I asked her for advice because she had kids before me, and I said, what do you think I should do as far as an epidural? She recommended that I don't do the epidural. That way later on in life, I wasn't going to have the back pains from the epidural. So right. She said, you might as well just suck it up for however many hours you're going to be in labor versus having to deal with it your whole life. So that was my plan for all of them.
So you weren't scared like of the pain? Because I feel like society, other mothers have us thinking like we can't have kids without the epidural or without any drugs.
I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous because of that. You know, everyone's like, you need an epidural to give birth. But I know I'm a tough woman. You know, I've gone through a lot of pain playing sports. And so I knew I could take it. And if anybody else can push out a kid without an epidural, I knew I could.
Oh, okay. I love your confidence. And I feel like that also adds to it. Like, you got to have the mindset that you can do this without any drugs. Cause I really think that's like a huge part of it, you know?
It's a mental thing for sure.
And you had your babies in the hospital natural or at home or?
All in the hospital.
All in the hospital. And you never thought about having a home birth?
No, I was too afraid to do that because I don't know. I feel like if something happened while I was at home, I didn't know if, you know, I didn't know if I was going to have the right equipment and resources to have a safe and healthy birth. So that was more so a mental fear of mine, and I just didn't want to think about it.
Right. What about C-sections? Did you have to have a C-section with any of them, or you said they came right out?
Nope, they came right out.
You weren't scared to have a C-section, an emergency one at the hospital? I feel like there's a high push for that since the 90s, because I don't know if you know, like, insurance hospital, they charge the insurance, they get a bigger payout from the insurance for an emergency C-section. So I feel like that's why there's been an increase. So you weren't scared to have a C-section?
Oh, surprisingly, my doctors actually didn't even recommend that or push for that. They actually more so recommended that we try naturally first, and then if that doesn't work, and then we'll look into the C-section option. But we never got to the point where a C-section was even discussed.
Okay, see, I like that too. Because I feel like I said, these doctors really push for it for more money. And for me, that was my whole thing. I think the fear of having a C-section in the hospital, because some other ladies you're going to hear on the same podcast, out of the four of you ladies, two of them had to have C-sections, emergency C-sections. Like all of a sudden, like we have to have this. And I just feel like if we, like the doctors, they need to be professionally skilled to, like, that literally needs to be the last resort. Like, and I feel like they go to that option so quickly. And for me, that intimidated me more than having any complications. So that's good that you were in the hospital and you didn't have any complications. And you also had a doctor who saw your same birthing plan with you. Yeah. Okay, I want you to tell the people, girl, about, because I thought that was so funny. I think it was with your second shot where you said you thought you peed, but your water broke.
Yeah, so me, I've always been an overthinker. So with my first two, I always thought I was in labor over like this, like the littlest little cramp. So I was always in the hospital getting checked. They're like, no, you're good. Like, your water's not broken. You're not dilating or none of that. So it's always been false, you know, because I'm in my head overthinking. So I'm thinking when I wake up one morning, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. My partner has to go to work in a few hours. And so I wake up and I feel myself a little wet, but I wasn't feeling any contractions, no pain. So I was like, this is probably me overthinking again. And we only live 5 minutes from the hospital. So I told him, go back to sleep because I know you have to go to work. I'm just going to get checked out just in case. But I was very insistent. I was like, just go to sleep because I know you have work. And this is probably me just being in my head again. Girl, I pulled up to the hospital and then all of a sudden I started having contractions. And I was like in so much pain when I was trying to check in. I was like, you got to get me in that hospital bed right now. The baby's coming. And then I call my partner. He gets there in 5 minutes and the baby comes out in like, I would say like less than 3 hours.
Really? Was that your quickest length of labor or birth out of all of three?
No.
No?
Nope.
So what was the active labor? Let's run the numbers on the first one. How long were you in active labor?
You know, I don't even know those numbers because I don't know. I told myself I have fish brain. I have such horrible memory that I don't remember those small little details. You know, I wish I wrote it down and I wish I could remember those little details, but I really don't. I'm going to be honest.
You know, it's mom brain too. They say like my midwife, when I told her like, yeah, girl, I'm writing a book. She's like, you better hurry up, girl, because these hormones, they do something to our brain. Like, you know, where you don't even remember stuff. Like what yeah. that happened?
Yeah. I can't remember anything anymore. Like, and I think it has to do with having so many kids and yeah, it's
the mom brain.
Time. Yeah, I definitely got mom brain. I can't remember anything anymore.
Now, but, go ahead.
So Miles was, I would say, under like 12 hours. I would say he was like 6 to 8 hours. That's my first. My second one was, like I said, like the 3 hours. Then my third one, I was picking up. No, I was dropping off my kids for school. And luckily, my mom was with me. Because when I dropped off my kids, I went to get up from the passenger seat and all of a sudden I felt a pop. So my water broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was gushing. So I'm like, never mind, kids, get back in the car. And then I call my sister, who's a nurse, and the nearest Kaiser from where we're at now is an hour away. And she goes, no, it's not safe for the baby to not have the amniotic fluids, like it's not safe, so you need to go to the nearest hospital. So I went to a hospital about like 15 minutes away, and I think that one was like a 3 hour birth too.
Oh wow. And do you want any more kids?
No.
You and your partner? No.
it costs way too much money.
Yeah,
like it's a lot of work. And now my kids are starting to play sports, so now that's becoming an expense. And then we're thinking about the future, having to pay for college, pay for cars. And so it's like, we're trying to start saving like a little money now. That way we're better prepared for the future. But it takes a lot. I mean, once you have a kid, it's like, you can't be selfish no more. All the money that you make, it goes straight to your family.
I know, girl. That's why I'm doing this, parents helping parents. So, okay, you talk a lot about your partner. He seems really involved. Would you say he's like really involved? Or would you say you're more the primary parent? Like who holds the most responsibilities or is it equal?
I would say for the most part, it's equal. However, when there were more babies, I would be the one, you know, handling like the formula. I'm sure we're going to get to the breastfeeding part. But when there were babies, I was the one shaking the bottle, washing the bottles. Because I'm actually very OCD too. If you don't wash stuff the way that I want you to wash it, I'm going to redo it. So I'm just going to tell you not to do it. So for that, I kind of understand. So I kind of took the reins on that because it bothered me to have something done not done my way.
But he would offer, though, to make the formula bottles or the bottles. So, okay, we could transition to that. So you didn't breastfeed any of them or you just did formula or what was your plan for that?
The first two, I didn't even think about breastfeeding only because, well, actually, let me take that back. For my first, when I was at home with him for the first week, I did try to attempt to breastfeed, but I was so tired. I would never get up every 2 hours. And I love my sleep and I love my naps. So I'm like, no, Like, I'm not going to do this.
But you didn't have any problems with, like, latching or anything. It was just, like, it's physically draining. And you're like, this isn't going to work.
Well, I did have problems with latching, but I didn't care to figure it out with my firstborn. Like, I was just I was more worried about my sleep.
Right.
Now, for the third one, I was like, I really, really want to try breastfeeding because I know, like, it's good for the baby's brain and health, all the nutrients from the breast milk. So I really tried doing breastfeeding for my third. However, they didn't tell me in the hospital that she had a frenulum, so the lip tie.
Oh, my daughter has the same thing, girl. And it's hereditary, too. She gets it from my mom, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. So I think that comes from Anthony's family, my partner's family. But I didn't know that. The nurses were just like, oh, like, you're holding the baby the wrong way. You got to do it this way. My partner was really trying to help me, like, move her mouth around, like, the nipple. And, like, and I kept telling him, I'm like, this is so painful, like, I don't think I'm ever going to get used to this. And then I started getting, like, the chapped nipples and, like, the bleeding. And I'm like, this is not working out. And then I took her to a dentist. And they're like, did you know that she has a frenulum? And I'm like, no. And then, like, they show me, they lift up her lip. And it was attached from, like, the bottom of her gums, like, between her two big teeth. It was like, bad. And they're like, have you ever tried breastfeeding? I'm like, I tried, but I wasn't successful. And they told me, well, this is the reason why.
Yeah, it is harder. My baby actually, she was blessed. She latched right on. But my midwife she was watching her weight the first week. She was like, if she doesn't latch right because of this lip malfunction, then you'll have to switch to formula, or we'll have to discuss some other methods, because she has to, you know, stay nourished, obviously, and eat.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel you on that being painful. I just want to say, girl, that breastfeeding, because I wanted to breastfeed because I feel like society convinced me that it was healthier for the baby. I didn't really look into, like, the side effects, like you're saying, like, yes, it's every, and for my baby, it was every hour because she was actually a preemie. But definitely it really affects your sleep schedule. And I was curious, so you feel like, or I'm curious, do you feel like having your baby on formula helps, like, them, like, develop a better sleep schedule, or you develop a better sleep schedule? Or
I would say a better sleep schedule with formula, only because I have three sisters and two of them who had kids, and we were able to kind of compare, you know, the difference between breastfed babies and ones on formula. Right. My kids, they slept through the night pretty early on, and I think it was because of the formula. It's more heavy versus, like, the breast milk. My sister said they were getting up every few hours, and I'm like, no thank you, I can't do all that.
And they can, like, smell the titty, girl.
Yeah,
like, they smell you, they're like, oh, my titty, girl. Yeah, I call my daughter, she's a crotch goblin, because she's like constantly has to check, like, she'll be sleeping, wake up, like, reach out, peek her eye, okay, my titties are here, like, go back to sleep. It is very hard on the body. And what I didn't know, what nobody even told me, is that breastfeeding, like, you can lose even more weight than what you started off at before pregnancy, because they're literally sucking all the nutrients and the energy. They're taking it for themselves, girl. And I was like, 104 pounds. I had to start taking protein shakes because I was like, oh my God, like, I wanted to breastfeed to have that bond with her so she can have those nutrients. Like you said, better brain development. But then I'm like, I need to try to wean her off because it's just taking a real toll on me. So
yeah,
I definitely understand that.
And you got to be healthy for her too. So
that is great that you have an active parent. So you said you got a lot of sisters. So you'd say you have, like, additional support to help you?
Definitely. Anytime I call my sisters, anytime I call my parents, they're always there quick to assist with the kids.
That's good. Okay, so what about any other, like, tips or tricks having three kids? Girl, you're a pro, I would say. So, like, anything else we should tell, like, you know, mothers or even dads, like, you know?
There's no such thing as, like, a pro mom. Everybody's different. Every situation's different. You just got to roll with the punches and do the best that you can, you know? I mean,
I feel like you have some really well-behaved children, I will say. You make parenting seem manageable. So, like, for me, my baby's almost 5 months. I'm wondering, at what point does it become more manageable? Like, I see the sleeping gets better with the breastfeeding. Like, by month 4, I feel like she starts sleeping through the night But like, you know, just the whole experience, like, because I don't have as much support as you. I don't have any family nearby me at all. My partner, his family, they don't talk to him. It's a whole nother story because they don't like me. So they just basically disowned him. So we don't really have any support. So we're just wondering, like, at what point does this become more manageable?
When they're able to comprehend things, I would say around like 2. So Raimi, my youngest one.
Not terrible twos? Not two. It becomes more manageable because I hear terrible twos.
But well, I do take that back. Well, only because my third one was super easy because I had the older kids to help. But not only help, she's seen how they would act and respond. So she tries to copy them. So at first with Miles, when he was little, my first, so yeah, he was going through terrible twos, terrible threes, but I also had my sister's kids who were around him a lot. So he got to see how they reacted to certain situations. Right. So I think a big part of it is having older kids around your kid. But if you're not able to do that, it's patience. You got to be patient in teaching your kid how to do things the right way. Responding correctly instead of throwing fits, saying no, or they don't want to do this. It will take time. It definitely will take
patience, time. Patience, girl. How do you develop patience? I have none. How can I develop some? My daughter's a crybaby.
Have any either. It just, in time, you're going to look at your kids and you're going to wish that you had these moments back when they were younger, when they were 5 months old or 6 months old. And that's what I think about that a lot. I wish I really like cherished those moments a lot more than I did because they grow up so fast, which then in turn turns that to patience because I look at them now and they are still little, you know? And so I'm trying to tell myself to enjoy the moment. You know, they're still young. They're going to make mistakes. If you're going to look for something bad for a kid to do, you're going to find something because they're kids. They're still learning. And it's just having that understanding and teaching yourself to be patient and to appreciate those moments. Take as many pictures as you can, you know, just definitely all of that. And then you're going to have a great experience regardless of what you're going through.
Okay, let's go back to that because I hear what you're saying, but I really don't agree. Listen, I have so many mothers because I get a lot of hand-me-downs and I donate a lot of hand-me-downs. And I feel like every mother tells me, oh, your baby's 4 months. Even my best friend, enjoy this stage. It's so peaceful. You're going to miss it. They like to cuddle. Oh my God, I'm not enjoying it. They can't do anything for themselves. My baby's a crybaby. And honestly, I really don't blame her because I was a crybaby. I believe in karma. I just feel like this is my karma for crying with my mom. My sister said I would just act a straight fool, girl, lay on the floor and just scream, throw temper tantrums. So I'm just like, when people tell me to enjoy this time, I'm like, I'm not sleeping. Well, I'm sleeping better now. But like my daughter was like opposite at first. She was like up. She was sleeping the day and then up all night. So I'm like, enjoy which part? Because none of this. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's rude to say. But I'm honest here on the TR Tuesdays, for real. Because I feel like people be afraid to say how they really feel. Girl, no, being a mom, it'd be some joyous moments. But girl, it suck in large parts. Like, so I feel like let's just keep it real. Like, really, is this really the moment to enjoy? Because it really don't seem like it.
Yeah. And you know what that is? That's your mindset. You have to change your mindset from being so negative about it to, and you probably won't be able to change that until she gets a little bit older, because I was the same way. Like, I used to cry sometimes when Miles, my firstborn, used to get up like in the middle of the night. I used to cry because I was so tired. Like I told you, I like sleep. Girl. But later on, I developed a more positive mindset about it, because once you do see your baby growing, you're just going to look at her, you're going to adore her, and you're going to be like, I wish she was little again, and I had more patience, you know, and cherish those moments. That's at least that's where I'm at, because I'm at a more positive mindset versus when kid. Because like I went through that. I went through that same thing. I would cry when Miles woke up. Because I wanted to go back to sleep. But you know what? You got to tell yourself, like, this is your baby and this is how things are now. And you just got to figure out how to parent the best that you can. Nobody's perfect. And just roll with the punches. And then just try to be more positive about it. That way you can enjoy your life.
I like that. How do I get to that positivity that you speak so highly of?
Just maybe patience? Find an outlet, find something, maybe scrapbook, maybe do something where you're taking those moments in and you're really cherishing it, and then you're going to want to cherish it even more. You have to find your own thing. Scrapbooking really helped me.
I like that. No, girl, I have my own vices. I don't have time for them. Like I said, it has a large part to do with my lack of support here. And my partner works every day. He has to call in to get a day off, like, and because we have our own business, and then he works as well on a side job. So, like, yeah, that probably would help me. I like that. Like, I'm like getting back to podcasting. Writing, it's a struggle, but it's like that probably would make me feel more positive about it. I like that. Well, thanks, Rachel. I appreciate the gems that you were dropping off, and I appreciate your time here on TR Tuesdays. I'm sure everybody is going to benefit from what you were saying here today. You're so welcome. We really appreciate that.
Wait, one more thing since we're on that subject, and I do want to throw one out there. Just, you know, finding things to where maybe you can compare with other mothers. Have you heard of an app called, I think it's Baby Center?
No, I haven't heard of that.
So there's an app, and I think it's Baby Center. I don't have it anymore. But basically, you put the month and the year that your baby was born, and it's a group full of, like, hundreds of women who have a kid the exact same age as yours. And then they'll put, like, an issue out there that they're having with their kid. And then you'll hear, like, all these different recommendations from all the parents that are going through the same exact thing you are at the same time. So that was another thing that helped me out. So I definitely recommend looking into that.
Okay. I will. You know what? I have something that does that, but I actually need to utilize the app. It's What to Expect When You're Expecting. You know, they have the book. They have like a whole saga, girl. So they also have an app where, yeah, you could put in the baby's birthday. But like I said, I don't utilize it. So thank you for that tip. I will start utilizing that app.
All right. Well, thank you for having me again.
No problem. Thank you so much. Until next time, girl.
All right. Bye.
I want to thank you again, Rachel, for being on the show. I know all my mothers really benefited from hearing your conversation. I know you felt like you had an easy 3 pregnancies and 3 easy births, but everything you have to say is valuable. So I really appreciate your time here on TR Tuesdays. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then I will be back with my second mom of the day, Sally, right after this.
And her mom hate me, bro. Lay down on the bed, do the cry, baby. She ain't gave me none of that pussy in a while. She had the boy wait, and I don't mind waiting. Oh, you ain't gonna respond to my text? Oh, yeah. Want me keep on my diamonds and sex?
Hey, girl. Welcome back to TR Tuesday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, girl. I'm so excited to have y'all. To have you back. For those of y'all who don't remember, Sally was on the show earlier this season on episode 10, Pregnant Women Who Smoke Cannabis. So if you haven't listened to that, go check that out. I'm thankful for your time, girl. I won't take too much of it because I know you're a mom and it is a hectic life being a mother.
No, it's all good. I love being on here with you, so don't trip.
Okay. And I know everybody loves hearing from you, girl, because you're a real mom with real shit to say. And I know people respect that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Motherhood is like, honestly, I always wanted kids, but man, motherhood is harder than I ever thought it would have been. Like being a full-time mom, it's a lot.
I'm sure. And you're a mama of 3, right?
Yep, 3.
Yeah, hands full. Do you want any more?
You know, I don't know. And it's hella funny because at my niece's birthday party, my family was asking us that, like, are you going to have more? And I was like, you know, I might want one more. Like, it kind of depends. And then someone else asked Russell on the other side of the room the same question. And he was like, nah, we're done. And I was like, wait, we're done?
See, it must not be that hellish for you, girl, if you're considering having more, because I'm one and done, girl. One and done. Yeah.
I just, you know, a lot of people are like, they don't want more after they go through like the pregnancy and the labor. And that's not it for me. To me, I'm like, you know, the pregnancy, that's 9 months, the labor, once you're done, you're done. To me, it's like, yo, I got to raise these kids. I got to have patience for them, like at least until they're 18, more longer than that, really. And they're expensive. So
Yes, I don't know. Yes, that's what all the moms are saying today, is that these kids are expensive. That's funny. And patience is key, I'm hearing. Okay, yes. So let's go back. So how was your pregnancy and your birth experience? Especially I'm interested in knowing, like, how did it differ? Because you just had a baby, like, in the middle of COVID, kind of. And then you already had a baby prior to COVID. So how did that differ in the hospital?
It wasn't too different, I would say. So I had to get a COVID test, and my man had to get a COVID test before entering the hospital. And then we had to wear our masks, and family wasn't allowed to come visit us. But other than that, I think
you had to wear your mask like the entire duration of giving.
Well, no. Okay. So I had to wear the mask until I got into my own room. And then once I got into my room, like, they were like, it's good. Like, don't worry about it. But honestly, I came into the hospital in labor with a rag in my mouth, and I was like, I'm not putting my mask back on. It's not happening.
Yeah, no, for me, that was a major turnoff too, is going to the hospital. It's like, I can't give birth to baby in a mask. Like, I'm all hot and sweating, and then you want me to wear this mask. I had never been so hot in my life. Like, just like, get these clothes off of me, have all the windows open with the home birth. So you were happy though with your birth experience. How long were you in labor, active labor?
Girl, my active labor was only 2 hours this time.
Oh, that's a blessing. How long was it the first time?
5 hours.
Okay, that's good too. So they say, like, normally I was saying to Rachel earlier that, like, the first baby is supposed to be like 22 hours, which you'll hear that some other moms on here, they had some like 30 hours or 25 hour length. I'm like, that's hard.
Yeah, I didn't know it was normally that long. Oh my God, that sounds horrible. I'm like 20, but I have heard stories of that, of women being in labor for like 20 hours, 30 hours. I can't even fathom that.
They say the first baby normally. Did you have the epidural, or did you have a natural birth with both?
I had a completely all natural birth with both babies. No medicine.
Was that your birth plan?
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's good. Because I know, like, people are like, oh my God, you really had a baby with, like, no drugs? Like, I feel like society has made us believe that it's almost impossible. So I like it. We're 3 for 3 on here with babies on natural births.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like people make it seem like it can't be done. And like you said, like, 5 hours is nothing compared to 20 hours. And, you know, to each woman her own. Like, I ain't going to down talk on a mother for doing the epidural. But it's like, something you said in your previous podcast, the last one, was those things. Oh, honey, you're good.
Oh, it's okay.
I know. He just woke up. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
But something you said on the last one, which is the whole reason why I didn't want to do the epidural, is when you start putting all those other things into your body, it's telling your body, okay, stop contracting, which is delaying the birth. And then sometimes women's bodies won't like, pick it back up. So then they have to give you more medicine. Like, okay, we're going to give you this drug now to make you go into labor. So it's prolonging the whole process. And I didn't want that at all. So I was like, yeah, let me just do this natural, see what my body can do, and just get it done.
Yes, girl, that's what's up, that you were able to do that in twice, because, oh, I don't think that I could go through this again. So would you have a home birth then, since you're with the all natural way?
100%. I actually wanted a home birth with my first pregnancy, and I started looking into it, and it was just too expensive. Like, I knew I wouldn't be able to do it, like, to afford it at that time. So I was kind of, I was really upset, not going to lie, actually, because I really did want a home birth. But I just went on hospital tours instead, basically, and just, like, looked at the facilities and found one that I liked. And there was actually a facility in Walnut Creek, though, so it would have been a bit of a drive, and I didn't want that. But they had, like, bathtubs, like, huge water bathtubs, so if you could get in and kind of have, like, that, something similar.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I like that, girl.
Yeah,
that sounds nice and comfortable. Yeah, I think having the baby at home definitely helps for a more peaceful, like, experience, at least, like, bringing them into this world. I won't say the whole thing's going to be peaceful, because my baby's a crybaby, like I said. Okay, cool. So do you do formula or breastfeed the babies?
All breasts. First baby and this baby has been all breasts.
Okay, how long did you breastfeed your first baby? What was your experience with that?
So I breastfed him for a year and a half. And while I was at home, like, it was totally fine. I didn't really have any problems, you know. He bit me a couple times, was probably the worst thing, but
yeah.
It wasn't too bad. You know, like, I had one mother, she told me her daughter bit her so bad, like, she bled, and that scared me, not gonna lie. But thankfully, when he bit me, it was just, like, little nips, and it was just a couple times.
Was that when he was teething, or he actually had teeth? And he was
Yeah, that's when he had teeth, girl. He was teething when he did that.
Oh, yeah. And how long did you breastfeed the first baby for?
A year and a half.
Really? Oh, my God. That's a long time.
It's a long time. And like I said, while I was at home, it was cool. But once I got to, I had to go back to work. That's when the real hassle started. Because then it's like you have to pump while you're at work. You have to take extra breaks. And then the whole pumping at work is super uncomfortable. And I got a whole nother story there because my manager actually walked in on me while I was pumping. And that was like, oh, I was livid. I was fucking livid.
Did you feel judged? Why were you livid? Were you like in a room by yourself? Did you tell them these are pumping hours, girl? Explain.
Girl, so they didn't have like a actual room at my job, they said. So they gave me the manager's office, which I already was like, that's a red flag. And they were like, don't worry, we have this sign and it's a locked door. So you'll be safe in there. Just make sure to put the sign up. So I was like, all right. So I made sure, you know, I put the sign up. I go in there, I'm doing what I'm doing. And it was a locked door, but it was like a code. So he enters the code. And I was like, no fucking way. Like, he's really about to walk in here. So I yell at the, I go, hey, like, I'm fucking in here. And he closes the door. And he laughs a little bit. And I was like, are you serious?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, girl. And I heard someone else with him, and I could tell from the voice, it was one of the HR ladies. And he was like, oh, Sally's in there. Let's go somewhere else. And I was just like, bro, there's a fucking sign on the door. You know what I mean? So after that, I had to walk down the block to the HR building in order to pump, because I told them I wasn't comfortable and I didn't feel safe in that room anymore. And there was nowhere else in the building for me to pump. And then that became a hassle because then my manager started getting on me, saying like he felt like I was taking longer breaks, basically. And like, how long are my breaks supposed to be? And it's like, look, like, I'm supposed to get 20 minutes twice a day to pump, but now you guys have me walking down the street. You got to allow me time to walk down the street and back. And then I was one of three mothers at that time pumping. So there were definitely times I'd go there, the room would be in use, and I'd have to wait for them to finish pumping just so I could finish start pumping.
Right. No,
it was ridiculous.
So your manager was a man though, right? It
sounds like yes. Yeah,
I feel like males have different, like a different take on breastfeeding in public or pumping in public. Like, you know, like, we're supposed to be like ashamed. That's why it was that whole, you know, free the nip like campaign, I feel like, some years back. And yeah. I feel like it's a natural thing for us to do. So I'm sorry that you had to go through that, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That I agree. I'm all but, like, if you need to breastfeed in public, do it. Don't be ashamed, moms.
And that's discrimination, right? If they was to try to really make that, I feel like, a huge issue. That's a lawsuit. Especially if you already got HR involved, girl. I told you, girl, in that podcast we did, I'm always looking for a lawsuit.
girl, I actually am talking to a lawyer right now trying to follow up on that, because I was the third mother he walked in on. The third mother he walked in on that was pumping. And my HR lady tried telling me, like, it's not harassment. And I was like, this is a pattern. This man has walked in on three mothers. Like, that's disgusting. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like you could definitely tie that in with sexual harassment or some sort of a privacy law, because this is supposed to be the private use for us mothers who need this space so we can be comfortable and get our milk out for our baby, you know. But like I said, girl, I feel like these men, they don't understand, or people that don't have kids, which is a good segue for me. Because I'm curious, do you have friends that don't have kids? Like, I feel like I can't, like, they don't really understand. Like, I feel like I may come off as flaky, you know, but I feel like if you had a kid, then you'd understand the struggle.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not going to lie. I don't really kick it with anyone anymore. You know, I have a very few people that I actually like say are my friends, and I don't get to see them that much. But if they don't have kids, then they like their auntie, you know what I mean? Like either to my kids or other people's kids. So I feel like they're pretty understanding.
Okay. But you feel like, do you feel like you could have a friend that doesn't have a kid as a mother? Do you feel like, you know, you could have a good relationship? Or do you feel like they're not willing to understand like the complications which may arise with motherhood because they're not experiencing that for themselves?
I think it just depends on the person, because I for sure do have friends that don't have kids and they understand, or even vice versa. I have some friends who don't have kids, but I know like they're doing other stuff and they don't live in the Bay Area, or they come and go from the Bay Area. So it's like, if we don't talk all the time, that's fine. Like, we don't need to talk every day. Just, you know, when we talk, we talk.
Right. And it's a good conversation. Yes. I like that. All right. So how old is your oldest baby?
My oldest baby is 3. He will actually be 4 in a week though.
Oh yay, really? Okay, yeah, so almost 4. So I'm feeling like you might be an expert then. You've been doing this for almost 4 years. Would you say?
Yes, because and even before I had my son, you figure I was still raising my daughter, and she's about to be 8 in June. So
oh yes, yes. See, so maybe like what tips can you offer like some parents on here? Cause I feel like as a new mom, motherhood seems like hard to manage. So maybe what are some tips on like, you know, helping people like me manage being a new mom and not having as much support, you know, maybe if you or some other moms on here may have.
So, yeah, no, definitely support. Like, definitely you need support from other people. And if you don't have that support, it makes it really, really hard. And some days you just got to breathe and tell yourself it's going to be okay. But otherwise, I think that my first thing is making a plan, like being like, okay, what do I need to do today? What are my goals? Like, what am I trying to accomplish? And then how much time do I need to accomplish those? And then I think one of the biggest things for me, though, has always been like putting them to sleep. Like Russ has always been way better at putting the babies to sleep than I have. He could just be talking on the phone, like talking hella loud to his guys, and the baby falls asleep on his chest, or he's playing a video game and the baby falls asleep on his chest, and it makes me mad because I'm over here singing, walking back and forth, you know, trying to do dances and songs, and the baby's crying, and I'm in there for like 30 minutes trying to put him to sleep sometimes. And he's just like, you just got to be more natural with it. So that's something I've done this pregnancy, or this one time with Kanan, where if I need to get something done, like if I'm trying to do dishes, best believe I'm holding him the whole time I'm doing these dishes, and he falls asleep while I'm doing the dishes, or he falls asleep while I'm cooking. So even though I try to keep him on a schedule, it's, I guess, having him come to my schedule too and meeting in that middle ground, you know? And that's like the biggest thing, making a plan. And then, yeah, just not always being like, oh, I can't do anything else, like I have to just put him to sleep, or I have to just feed him. Like now it's like, okay, I'm feeding the baby while I'm cooking the food, or I'm putting him to sleep while I'm doing dishes, you know, like multitasking.
Super mom. I like that, having a plan is my favorite motivation speaker says, if you don't have a plan, then you can't. But I think that is the hardest part for me. Like my last podcast, will I ever sleep again? No, seriously. Because those first 3 months, like breastfeeding her, she fed every hour on the hour. So I was like, you know, is she ever going to sleep like when I sleep? And then people will say, oh, we'll sleep when the baby. Like, well, I'm not always tired, or I want to shower, or I want to eat. Like,
yeah. I, you know, that was one thing people always say, sleep when the baby sleeps. And it's like, that's just not realistic. It's not. I have other kids. I have like a house I need to upkeep. I need to cook food, you know, like there's so much. And even that smoke, I want to relax. I want me time. Like, it's not always realistic to just sleep when the baby sleeps.
Girl, I literally stay up. I make baby go to have time. Because I feel like it's, I just, you know, just came back to our Tuesdays. Cause it took me, yeah, girl. It took me like 5 months. Been like, okay, find some time to write to these podcasts and then find some time to write to finish this first book. Like, girl, you've been really slacking on it, you know? So it's hard to find just time for yourself, let alone sleeping when the baby sleeps. Like, I'm trying to get shit done while they're not like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, girl, exactly. I'm trying to get shit done. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Any final thoughts or any points you feel like I didn't hit that you'd like to share any encouraging words?
Just breathe, moms. When it gets stressful, just breathe. And you're doing an amazing job. You know, there's a bunch of books out there, but there's not one way to parent. Everyone has different ways, and you just need to find what works best for you. And that's it.
I like that. All right, Sally. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to hear what people think about this episode. And we're going to have you back again for sure.
For sure. Thank you for having me this time. I appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
Yes, girl. You too.
Bye.
Thank you, Sally, so much for dropping those gems. And again, joining us on TR Tuesdays for the second time. I really appreciate your continuous support. When I come back, I will be presenting our last mother of the day, as the fourth mom didn't make it, but that's okay. We'll be right back on TR Tuesdays. Welcome back to TR Tuesdays. I have my third mother of the day. It is my sister, Leisha.
Hi, everyone.
I'm so excited to finally have you on the show. Mind you, I've been trying to get you on a Stripper Chronicle episode for some time now, but to come, guys, to come, because she got a lot of stories. So I asked you to be on the show because Sally and Rachel, as you heard, they had pretty easy birthing and pregnancy experience, but you and the other mom who didn't make it did not. So I thought it would be interesting for people to hear the contrast of how sometimes the birthing experience doesn't go how you planned. So I don't know how open you would like to be, but let's start there. So first off, how was your pregnancy? Is this your first baby?
First baby, first pregnancy, first everything. It was different because, one, as much as I planned my pregnancy and said I was going to be pregnant and have my first baby at 28, it happened exactly like that, but I wasn't mentally there yet. Like, I was like, oh shit, it's happening. I know I spoke it into existence. God's going to give me a baby at 28. I'm going to go into labor right after my birthday. And sure enough, my baby was born 2 months after my birthday. So I feel like God gave me exactly what I asked for over the years. But it was just different because as much as me and her father planned it, at the time that it happened, it wasn't planned. Like, we planned it. Oh, we're going to have kids. This is what we want to do. That's not how it happened. It happened on a fluke visit back to the Bay.
It never happens how we expand or how we expect. So I didn't have a good pregnancy either, because for me, it was hard to find good OBGYNs, especially here in the state of Nevada. So did you like your doctor or your OBGYN that you went to?
Actually, no lie, I loved my OBGYN. She was just everything. She also had a 3-month daughter when I was pregnant, so that was like, she was like, yeah,
y'all bonded over that.
This is my second baby, but this baby is different. I'm breastfeeding and this and that. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is great to understand, because now you're in the boat with me. So it's when you know people, not like that, but when people already have a toddler or a kid, it's more so like they got this. It's kind of like looking back on that, like, what happened? But when you got like a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old, it's more of a refresher. So I did like that. I was very lonely during my pregnancy, though.
Oh, why?
Emotionally lonely.
Why was you lonely?
Her father is in jail. And when he wasn't, I still lived, like I said, I got pregnant on a trip back to Oakland to visit. So I was still living in Nevada and he was living in the Bay Area. That's a whole 8-hour difference. It's no way he could just, you know, red eye for some doctor's appointments. But I still felt emotionally alone because I felt that he could have been there verbally. Or
so how did you manage your emotions, or how did you feel that void?
I didn't. I cried a lot.
Aww.
I cried like possibly every day of my pregnancy.
So did you have postpartum then after?
No.
Like fast forwarding a little bit.
Mm-mm. I actually had no postpartum. The doctors were very scared that I was going to have postpartum because I already have a history of chronic depression and anxiety and PTSD. So they thought, like, I don't know. Me personally, being back in the Bay, I never had so many doctors up my ass about my baby. Like, literally, it was at least 3 phone calls a week for people checking in on my baby that came from the county and the doctor's office. Oh, this is your nurse. What nurse? Oh, you didn't know we assigned you a nurse because COVID is here, so we can't physically meet with you every week, but we're going to talk to you on the phone every week. I didn't even know nurses see babies every week like that. I thought it was a monthly thing, so that was different for me. But that lady helped me a lot. I don't remember her name. It was like Karen or something, but she was like, that bitch was the truth. Like, she was the one that told me, like, it's okay for her to cry. It's okay to put her down. It's okay, because naturally you're gonna feel like I have to console. And she helped me with, my child is gonna have to self-soothe because my child has to grow up and my child isn't gonna always have mommy around. If there was an option of daycare, my daughter's gonna have to get used to that type of stuff. So I tried to put all that into perspective. It was very much different. My first time with my baby alone was 2.5 months after she was born. And her grandmother and her auntie went back to work, and I thought I had it because she's always with me and she's good. Literally, she had a crying fit for like 3 hours.
And where you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
And I didn't know what the fuck was wrong with my baby. I'm just like, it's not her diaper. It's not her stomach. It's not her teeth. What's going on? Like, I called the nurse lady, and she's like, put her down, walk away, and breathe. You can still hear her crying, but she's okay. And, like, sure enough, like, maybe, like, 2 to 3 minutes after talking to the lady, my baby stopped crying. And I was like, oh, I thought she was going to keep going. Like, she's been going for 3 hours. I was literally low-key scared. I was calling everybody. I was calling Lex. I was calling everybody. Like, does my baby have colic? She's crying profusely and can't stop.
Right. That's what I was wondering. I'm like, does she have colic? Says
colic makes them cry. It's when they have air in their stomach and it's very uncomfortable. So they cry consistently.
Especially in the first few months, girl. They be really gassy.
And that was her first time. So I was just like, And I literally was finna like panic. But then she stopped and she was like, is this your first time at home with the baby by yourself? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you're doing a great job that you called. She was like, a lot of moms won't call. They'll just like check out mentally. And I was like, oh no, I'm too scared to check out.
Right? It check out mentally.
But that may be a result of some women's postpartum. When my sister had my nephew, she said she used to just look at my nephew cry and just used to be like, shut. Like, she said she used to just look at him and feel in her mind like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, really? Was it that sad for you? She was like, bitch, I was sad watching him cry. Like, just shut up, baby, please. And I was like, really? And, you know, that was 8 years ago. I wasn't a mom. I'm a mom now. So I'm like, oh, I get it. When you can't console your baby and you're like, oh, you gotta self-soothe.
Girl, I didn't cry with my baby, my man, and tell my baby, baby, please, why don't you just shut the hell up? Like, no. You ain't got a right to tell her to shut the hell up, though. Because he'll say it so peacefully, baby, please, why don't you just shut the hell up?
Baby, shut up. Oh, baby, shut up, baby.
I go, you don't have the right to tell her to shut up. You're not with her long enough.
My friend kindly tells her babies to shut up. She says, shut up, babies. Y'all shut up, babies. So, maybe it's the voice tone and how you say it. Because the way my friend says it, she makes it sound very nice. Like, when the kids get too loud, she'd be like, shut up, babies.
Right. Because they can't communicate. So, it's like, you know, this is the only way of telling us.
Right, it's telling us something.
But I do want to go back, because, boy, did we jump again. I want to go just back to your actual birthing experience. So, you said you had planned everything out. What was your plan for the actual birth of your baby?
Honestly, this plan has been a plan way before I was pregnant. It's been something in my mind that I knew I was going to do for years. Like, maybe 6-7 years now, I knew how my birthing plan was going to be. It was going to be a standing water birth. When I told doctors that, they said, you must have done research. Nobody does standing births anymore. I said, well, actually, the original midwives were African-American women, and it's actually better for your spine and for your heart rate if you're standing.
Girl, I squatted my baby out,
something
bro.
And squatting. And they were, the people in Las Vegas, they were just, you look this up? How did you know this? No, I watched movies and documentaries of black people.
And see, that's what I'm saying about the inadequate care here. Why are they asking you, like, shouldn't you know? Isn't this something you specialized
in? They were very surprised by they were like, you seem very adamant on it. You sure you don't want to? No, I know what I want. I want to sit in the tub of water, and then when I can feel she's coming or crying, we're going to stand up. I'm going to squeeze that podium, squat that baby out.
She would have came right out too.
Like butter. But I honestly feel, because I also just found this out, doctors get paid a lot more for cesarean sections.
Yes.
And those labors actually generally cost more than a regular birthing labor. A birthing labor where somebody's maybe in the hospital for 2 days is maybe like $27,000. C-section baby, $80,000 to damn near almost $100,000. My baby should be rich if that's the case.
I think that's why it's such a push for the C-section. Because it's all about money. Too,
because yes, my water ruptured improperly.
But you young and healthy.
I had what they call a slow leak. So it was just like drip, drip, drip. Okay, here goes some more water. Drip, drip, drip. Okay, well, here goes some more. Like, it wasn't really, like, all coming out. It was more so coming in, like, little spurts of pee or whatnot. But I was still at the house. I was determined to not have my baby at my friend's house, so I went into labor at her house. It was meant to happen in West Oakland. But
so your water broke first?
That
was your indication of labor before your mucus plug ever fell?
My mucus plug never came out, actually. Never came out, okay. I looked it up and it says it's rare, but it happens. Some people on their first babies, they just don't. And also, some people that are physically active, that they just, honestly, a lot of people that are more physically fit and healthier, they tend to have like a lot of stuff not happen because they're kind of healthy. So
I feel like I didn't go through Braxton Hicks, like, or if I did, I took it like a G.
I went through Braxton Hicks. But I didn't know that they were Braxton Hicks for the... No, actually, what I felt was, I guess, regular contractions. And then when I thought Braxton Hicks was Braxton Hicks, they told me, no, you were in labor. So
see, me too. I go, this must be Braxton Hicks.
Yeah.
I was like in denial the whole time.
Literally, I was talking to her dad. It was like an hour before his birthday. We was on the phone. I hung up. I texted him. And I said, I'm probably not going to talk to you in a minute. So, happy birthday. It's midnight. Happy birthday. Celebrate.
Because the father, his birthday is the day before the baby, right? 2 days. Yeah, that's great. Or, I mean, depending how you look at it. Or it's not. Because it's like, it could be your birthday or mine. I don't really want to have to share.
He requested that. So, God gave him what he wanted as well. Because her birthday was actually April 14th. Which is another one of my family members' birthdays. She still was born on my auntie's birthday.
I wanted her to be a 420 baby.
That's what everybody told me. Everybody was like, oh, her birthday's 414. Babies come a week late or a week early. And she came 3-4 days early. But I went into labor April 8th. But I was talking. I texted them. And then I just felt like I had to pee. I went to go pee. And then when I went back to lay down, it felt like hella pee just started squirting out of me. And I couldn't, like...
It was your water breaking. Right. Did it continuously?
No, because I had a slow leak. So my stopped. So a slow leak is when it's like basically like somebody stuck a pin in your balloon and it leaks eventually. Like
you said that earlier, but I didn't really know what that meant exactly. Yeah, but
it ruptured improperly. So I guess when it's supposed to pop, it's supposed to just splash. Yeah. No, I guess Amina gave me a little jab and it said so. But I put on a pad because they say I wanted to see how much I was collecting to see if it was actually my water breaking or if I was, and like I said, I kept checking for a mucus plug. I'm like, oh, I read all these books. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what happened to all these moms. No, I also noticed African-American women and women of color also have different labors and pregnancies than other African-American and Latino women. We also can have babies later in life than Caucasian women and other races. We can have babies well up into our 50s and 60s.
Oh, really?
It's very rare for... Yeah, African-American women on average don't even get menopause until 60. Caucasian women sometimes start getting in around 40, 50, like earlys.
Oh, that's so terrible.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, those little angry white ladies, they be having this little... what is it? Lululemon pants. But... So I was just like, oh, okay.
And how long did it take you to get to the hospital from when your water broke?
I was only around the corner from the hospital, but I was determined to get my baby out at home. I was already like, okay, damn, Mariana's tub is small, but I'm going to have to make it work. But
girl, who was going to be the doctor? You was going to just pull her out yourself?
Yes. One. And then two, I had my crystals. Three, Mariana's auntie is a registered nurse. She was the one that was on the phone that was telling us it was a slow leak and went to go to the hospital because she was like, more hasn't came out. Okay, keep me on the phone. This, okay, well, did she put on a pad? Okay, great. Tell her to tell me how much fluid is in the pad.
So the slow leak for them indicated a C-section, or at what point did they feel like...
No, it doesn't indicate a C-section. It indicates that something might be wrong. Your baby could be breached. Your baby could be turned sideways. And that's why it didn't... Because when their head... Well, they said she was head down like a whole month early. She was ready. So, but...
So what happened for this? What was the issue on why it was a slow... Was she breached?
Honestly, they came to the conclusion that I'm just really tight down there. And it just wasn't...
Opening up.
It just wasn't... Basically, bitch, our hips... And it's crazy because my hips got really loose. And they say that happened so that they could open up.
Yeah, they say your hips widened for sure.
So
yeah.
With me, what really scared the doctors is what I feel like pushed them into an emergency C-section is I get there. They have to admit me because I'm only 2 centimeters dilated. But they, of course, open me up. And they're like, oh, it ruptured improperly. We have to admit you because... It ruptured improperly. If it was normally 2 centimeters and my water broke regular 2 centimeters, they would have sent my ass back home. They don't admit you until you like 5 or 7 centimeters.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? I'm only 2 centimeters. I've been 2 centimeters for a week. They're like, exactly. And your back.
Really? Ruptured. I didn't know you could be dilated for that long.
I was dilated for a whole month. I was, the first time I had sex during my pregnancy, he made me dilate.
What was the length of your pregnancy? Active labor and then the whole... You know, birth experience as a whole.
Active labor, two days. Because I went into labor April 8th. Two or three in the morning. I went into labor. I went into labor probably like around 1 a.m. But I didn't text her dad until 3. Because I was like, okay, the water's still leaking. So, and I texted him and said, hey, just in case, I might be in labor. But don't panic because I don't think I'm in labor. I think it's Braxton Hicks. I think I still got the phone where I texted him that. Because I was a soldier, so I was just like, oh, okay. I went in the living room. I'm like, Princess, do you want to roll a blunt for me? Because I need to smoke. Don't judge me. Yeah, I smoked my pregnancy. Actually, when I stopped smoking during my pregnancy, I actually lost weight and dropped to like 100 pounds. And it was very alarming. And my OBGYN asked me, what was I doing to keep my appetite up? Because if I didn't smoke, I would be throwing up all day. And it's just... stomach acid, so I'm losing weight.
No
and
judgment. Sally, the
make your teeth fall out.
The other mother we had, I had her on the episode, Pregnant Women Who Smoke Cannabis, because, and she also worked at the dispensary while pregnant too.
They actually have no scientific proof that it defects your baby in a bad way.
Of course, she got 3 perfectly healthy kids.
They literally, Stanford and UC Berkeley, literally have studies, and they said it shows no negative, like, they say... How it affects you is like that's your genetics that did that. It's not the THC.
So you wrote a blunt, girl. I could barely even roll a blunt when I was in labor. I was in so much pain and like was all it was looser than normal. Half of it fell out.
Princess roll. I feel bad because I guess she heard me going back and forth to the bathroom. So when I said princess, she said yes, Dinah. I said you want to roll up for me? My stomach hurts so bad. I got some more of those Braxton Hicks. But what's crazy is Princess has 4 kids, and she's the one that kept telling me, you in labor, but it's okay because you're in denial.
I think it's maybe first time mom. She told me
the day before that I was in labor because I kept sitting like this and everything. I had to sit facing that way. And she kept telling me, you in labor, but it's not active yet. You're in labor, but
I love how she did a visualization as if y'all could see her.
I had to sit on every chair backwards, basically like a guy used to sit on chairs. So... I was just like, maybe we smoke like maybe 3 blunts. Like it's 1, 2, 3 in the morning. We just smoking back to back because I'm just like, oh, I'm so agitated. My stomach hurt. It's not necessarily painful because I'm thinking it's Braxton Hicks. So I'm like, you know, my mind is like, if you think it's painful, it's going to be painful. Bitch, just body it. It's an annoyance. It's just an annoyance. So I'm like, I'm just like kind of moaning and groaning. And then like around 8, 9 in the morning, I'm still up. We still smoking because, of course, I'm at this point, we probably smoked a quarter. I just need to smoke because that's the only thing keeping me from, like, and I'm doing this. And that's what she like, yeah, you're really in labor. You got to rub
something. She's rubbing the chair, guys.
You got to rub something. And then around 9 something, I proceeded to get on all 4s and rock back and forth because that felt really good. And she said, oh, no, that baby's coming out. I said, no, I'm just hot. I need to take my clothes off.
Yes,
she said,
girl.
No, you're in labor. Come on, I got to take you
I
to
took
the
all my clothes off. I opened all my windows, girl.
Our temperature rose.
My midwife's doula, they would look so cold. They had on jackets and shit, bitch, freezing. Like,
yes.
And then as soon as the baby came out, I was freezing. Like, close the doors. Close the
it's
window.
It's like, I don't know why it does that to us. It's like, I was burning up. And what's so crazy is I had just took my Bantu knots out. And I said, mind you, my friend was like, why don't you take your Bantu knots out? Your curls are going to be so pretty. I said, because watch me take these Bantu knots out. And this is supposed to be my labor style. Watch this baby come as soon as I take my Bantu knots out. She came that night that I took my Bantu knots out. I went into labor. I was like, now I'm going to sweat out my curls. I was so sad because I wanted to take my Bantu knots out the day after labor. So, you know, I could have pretty curls and take my picture with my baby. Had my eyelashes ready and everything. Didn't work that way because once I get to the hospital, I'm agitated, I'm hot. These eyelashes got to go. They're just in the way. Everything's in the way.
And you had a baby during in the heart of COVID. Did they make you wear a mask?
No, actually, when I pulled up, it was kind of weird because when we pulled up to the hospital, Princess bounces out and goes, she's in labor. Get a wheelchair. The cops are standing around. What? She's in labor. Get a wheelchair. Like right now? No, bitch, tomorrow. I can have this baby right here in front of the hospital. Yes, right now. Then finally some nurses come running out, like, because they see me struggling to get out. Because the police ain't doing nothing. They're just standing there with their dick in their hands. I'm struggling to get, you know how pregnant people get out of cars. It takes us a while. So I'm struggling to get out. Nurses see me and come running, because why do pregnant people come to the ER? So they come running out with the wheelchair. Oh, you're in labor. Welcome, mommy. This is going to be easy. You got this. They're immediately... I'm just in my head like, shut up.
I know, right? They be so encouraging and confident.
I get it, but it does not help right now. I'm just agitated. I just want to smoke again. In all reality, I want to be back in the car, back at the house smoking, waiting for this baby to come out my butt. Like, and then that's what I was really worried about. I was going to shit because I've known people to shit.
Did you?
Did
you?
No, I did not. Thank you.
I thought I was going to shit too. I didn't.
No. So when I got there, they told me they had to admit me. And so they told me because I wanted a standing birth and they didn't have the room with the podium. They said, oh, we finally got your birthing plan from Nevada. You wanted a water birth. There's not any rooms available for that. And for the standing one, we don't have the right podium. So you can walk around in your room until you feel her coming. And whatever you feel like gripping is comfortable, you can do that. Then maybe like 2-3 hours into that, they told me I couldn't walk around anymore. I needed to sit down. The thing that they monitor the baby with, it's a lot that they weren't telling me, which is what scared me. Then they came and put a second heart monitor thingy on me. I don't know why. I asked why. Oh, it's okay. It can't be okay if you're putting two of these on me. And one of them already monitors the baby. And then my contractions were consistent. I don't know. Then they said, oh, we hope to have you out in a couple of hours or something like that. I want to say I got to like maybe 5 to 6 centimeters. They said, oh, okay, you're doing good, but we're going to give you some Pitocin. For all the new moms that are going to be moms out there, Pitocin is the number one medicine that makes you have a C-section. They will not tell you that. Pitocin makes you
I hear it slows C-section. The laboring experience.
No,
and they say it's supposed to speed
it
up.
No, it does not slow it at all. It gives you contractions every 60 seconds.
That sounds
It funny. Amplifies your contractions. My contractions were maybe like 3-5 minutes apart. That made them come every minute. And so I'm just sitting there agitated.
And this was the first drugs they gave you because you wanted to have a natural birth, right?
Yes. They come in like, oh, we have to give you Pitocin. You're still not dilated more and you got to...
So it amplifies the contractions. Does it release any pain? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's contractions. It's very painful. I mean...
No. I'm saying the Pitocin. Is it a pain reliever? Like...
No.
No.
You're going to feel all of that.
Oh, okay. That's
you're going to feel all of the contractions. It's just to speed up the contractions to make... Basically... To make your vagina contract more to get ready to open up. So, boom. They gave me the Pitocin. I got to 9 centimeters. Yay, Miss Lacey. We're so happy. We'll be back in like an hour to check on you to hope you're at 10 centimeters. They come back. First of all, checking my cervix is the most uncomfortablest thing I've ever had done to me in my life. The fact that they kept doing that. It's awkward. Please don't look at me while you do it.
Girl, really? I had my midwife do it like 3 times.
Yeah,
like,
please
girl,
don't look at me.
She's like, I just checked your cervix. No, like, do it again. I swear it. She's coming.
No, she's ready. Like, stop. I know. I can feel her. I don't want you to keep doing that. It's just uncomfortable. It just feels like you're pushing against her. And now she's kicking me. Stop. She doesn't like it. She's feisty. So Then they check my cervix. The lady immediately makes a strange face at me and goes, I'm sorry, do you mind if I check it again? Takes off her glove and I go, well, yeah, because it seems like I don't have an option. I'm in a predicament. And so she goes, I'm sorry. And then she does it again and goes, yeah, I don't want to sound unsure, but I need a second opinion because it seems like your vagina actually got tighter and you dilated backwards. What do you mean? Does that happen normally? No, not really. That's why I want a second opinion to make sure. Okay.
You know, see, people's lack of knowledge is what's scary in the medical
field. It's very scary. So,
because I feel like we just hired anybody.
Beautiful young African girl, literally not African American. She's African. I loved it. I asked her too. I said, I'm sorry, are you African? I said, you look so beautiful. Can you pull your mask down? How old are you? She was like 25 and she's a doctor. 25 and you're an OBGYN delivering babies and you came from Africa, bitch. I salute you because you left your country to make sure you did right by your family, your sisters, your brothers, your mother, whatever. And you made that shit in America, bitch. You made it. You're a fucking doctor, a black woman, 25.
Girl, my midwife, 30.
I was so proud of her. Like, I started crying and I was like, you're so beautiful. I'm so proud of you.
You're pretty.
And she was like, you're going to make me cry. She was like, thank you for being proud of me just as another black woman. I was like, do you know how hard it is to make it in America? I think it's hard as fuck. So the fact that you came from Africa and came out here to college and you made it out here shows we cannot be stopped. We are phenomenal.
That's what's up. So she checked your cervix as well.
She checked my cervix and says, yeah. You dilated backwards.
Oh, happy. Like, you're like,
what the hell? I dilated back to 7 centimeters.
So at that point, they was like, they need to do a C-section?
No, at that point, they gave me a second round of Pitocin.
Hoping that that was going to get you to 10 centimeters.
Got to 9 centimeters again. They got all excited. All right, instead of waiting an hour, we're going to just wait in like 20 minutes and check you again. Came back. It's 5 doctors this time. I dilated back to 6 centimeters. Now everyone's looking side to side, which means this doesn't happen normally at this hospital, or this is something.
Or they're not skilled with. Exactly. Yeah, or they're not skilled with
this.
So
they all look inside.
Which is even scarier.
They all like
our medical system.
6 centimeters? Are you sure? Okay, you check. You check.
So yeah. Everybody's just taking turns sticking their finger up you.
Basically.
Oh my God, bitch.
I'm getting 6 too.
Our medical system.
I'm getting 6. Yeah, I'm getting a 6'2".
And this is in California, right?
Yes. So, boom. And this is in a very white Contra Costa County. But, so, boom. Everyone's checking. Yeah, I'm 6 centimeters. Okay. Well, we don't want to keep giving you Pitocin. So, we're going to let you rest for a while and see if that does anything. By this time, remember, I got admitted at like 9, 10 in the morning. By this time, it's 7, 8 at night. Her father is arriving. It's his birthday. He's drunk. He gets there. He's all happy. You still ain't had this baby yet? Feel free to just give me a gut punch and help me get her out there.
Not a gut punch.
They won't give me any food because they don't want me to poop on myself. All they're giving me is juice. I'm vomiting. I have.
Girl, and that's horse shit too. They say that they can't give you food too, like, because they don't want you to poop. But in reality, girl, like, you're getting so hungry because all your energy, girl, going to push that baby out. After you're
starving.
They keep
you hydrated, but they do keep you hydrated. They kept giving me cranberry juice. They gave me the ice that I love, the little crunchy pieces.
Mind you, I was in too much pain to eat.
Anyway, I was
starving. But I was starving after.
Nah, I was starving during it. I was like, oh, he can't just go give me any Chick-fil-A. Walnut Creek is right here. Please, we're in Martinez. I was begging for anything. What about McDonald's? Please, that's closer. That's around the corner. Okay, well, Safeway has sandwiches right around the... Y'all are next door to Safeway. Like, they was not fucking with it. They was like, oh, they were giggling. It was all funny. But they said I was actually their most calmest labor that they've seen in months to years.
Okay, so resting didn't work after some time. I just want to know at what point they thought, like, C-section, this is the answer.
At this point, damn, it's April 9th. We still in labor. Damn, it seemed like everything, it looked like the tone outside never changed because I'm like, damn, that was 2 days of labor, but I feel like it was always sunny outside. maybe it was the lights were bright or something. I don't know. I'm like, damn, when did it get dark? But all I remember is Juju went outside to go get his charger, which he was not supposed to do. They told him to have somebody meet him at the hospital door. This nigga comes back in reeking of weed, which is what I wanted to smoke. I'm devastated. Now I'm angry. You smell like an eighth, and I don't have no weed, and I'm sitting here in this fucking bed.
He could at least brought you an edible, girl, a weed.
Oh, your little afro. Don't touch me. I'm agitated. You did this. I'm in this stupid ass. If it was up to me, I don't know. But this baby would have been out already somehow. I would have still been at the house, and the baby would have been out something. I don't know. I just felt like everything was his fault. I was just like, you get the easy part. You just got fat, and you nutted. Like, that's all you... Like, you're lucky, and then you got to have sex with me. I was uncomfortable during sex. I got excited, and then my belly was there. Like, I was just, like, agitated. I was just, like, fussing at him. And he just was like, he was cracking up. You buzzing. You tripping for no reason. Watch when she get here. You gonna love her. No, I'm still gonna be agitated with you. Like, that's how I felt. But then he goes to sleep. I'm sitting here trying to call people just because I'm in need of some type of accompanying because he's asleep. Call my sister, call my mama, and then literally I want to say they come in and was like, are you still in severe pain? Also, I threw up the whole 9 months. I was throwing up black all during labor, and that was also very alarming to them because for me to not eat and only have water and a little bit of cranberry juice, I was filling up those bags, like filling them up to the top. And they was like, we don't have any more. We gotta go get some from another room. Like, you're throwing up a lot. And they were scared that I was losing too many nutrients. And it was like, something was gonna happen to the baby. They was like, I was losing oxygen in my lips.
No, for sure. My lips had been cracking away after.
They said something. And I just told them, I said, it's y'all fault because y'all got me laying down. I wanna be on all fours the way I'm supposed to be having this baby, natural. So they brought these little pedal things out from under the bed. They let me stay on all fours. I was good. I was thugging it. I fell asleep. They came and woke me up. Oh, we're going to have to give you an epidural because you need an emergency C-section because you're still at 9 centimeters and you haven't gone up or down in a whole day. And that's, we don't want this something. Oh, no, right before that, they said, that's what I'm saying. They weren't being very,
communicative.
Yes. So they told me they had to stick something up my hoo-ha and clip it to my baby's head to monitor her heartbeat. Remember, I told you they already had the thing across my stomach and then came and put a second one on there. Why do you now need to stick something up my hoo-ha to monitor if my baby is okay? That's alarming as fuck. Why do y'all need to do all this to make sure my baby is okay? I've never, like, then my baby is a savage. The first time they stuck it up there, they actually clip it to your baby's scalp. And
that sounds painful. Amina for the
yanked
baby.
It off. Like, literally, as the doctor stands up, who actually is Amina's pediatrician still to this day, all the doctors, the 7 doctors that birthed her, are still very much in her life. But the main one, Dr. Priam, she stands up, and the thing slides right out my vagina, and she goes, oh, we got a feisty one in there. No baby just rips it off. They usually just leave it alone. If you, I still have the lock of hair. It was literally one little single lock of a curl that, I was like, that's my baby's hair. My baby has hair. I was getting excited then, like, okay, now we at the home stretch. Like, right. Okay, she got hair. Okay, boom, we lit. It was one little lock of hair, and I said, can I have it? Can I have it, please? And they put it in a little pea cup for me, and I was like, thank you. It's literally, I still got it. It's a little curl of hair.
So during the C-section, how long did it take them to take her out of your belly? Did they have that little, like on movies? Really? Is that quick? That little clear thing?
Bitch, they slice you open,
get that so you don't see, right? Did they have that thing?
No, they didn't have that. I think they
only... So you could see, like, what they were slicing you open?
You can't move. You're numb.
What they numb you with? You didn't tell us.
An epidural.
Oh, okay. Girl, last we heard you got Pitocin, so...
No, I said that's when they woke me up. We have to give you an epidural because you need an emergency C-section.
Oh, that's okay. So epidural helps with the pain?
They have to numb you. Like, you're going to be numb. Like,
okay.
Like, literally. And then I guess I wasn't doing good. I guess you got to, like, bend over like this. I'm nervous.
I heard if you move when they stick you with the epidural, you can, like, they can paralyze you or some shit.
It can because it's your spine and they're sticking it in your... Okay. So, you know how...
And is the needle really as big as they say?
Yeah, it's long. Yeah, okay, so because it has to go into your fluid in your back. So, you know how you have your backbone, right? And in between your bone, you have this little squishy stuff that's like a meaty kind of thing. But basically, they have to inject it into that, and then it releases the stuff to your body. So I wasn't doing well. First, I'm afraid of needles. It didn't help that I saw the needle as they was pulling it off the little tray. I'm like, oh no, it's okay. We could just still thug it out. You guys could just cut me open and I could be feeling it. I don't know, but I'm not with it. They gave me the epidural. I went to sleep. I was maybe asleep 20 minutes. And the next thing I know, they was like, we need to just take out this piercing and roll you down. I said, wait, I thought this was going to help the baby come out. You guys are still going to cut me open? That's when I started panicking. They said, they were nervous because they said, you were the best labor. Now you're panicking. Are you okay? I just told you I've never broke a bone or had a surgery. No, I'm not okay. My first surgery, you want to cut me open to get my baby out? And there's C-sections where some babies have gotten cut by that knife because you guys cut too deep. Some women's nerves actually get severed and don't get that nerve feeling back down there. My sister, actually, my nephew's 8. It's still numb where that line is for her.
How long did it take you?
But that's very scary.
To heal from the C-section birth? Because I hear it's much longer.
It takes about a year.
A whole year?
Because you got to think about it. They're cutting so many layers of skin to get to the baby. You got to think about it. Belly fat is very thick. They have to cut through all those nerves that are all through your body to get to that baby that's way inside of there, inside of a sack.
And I'm sorry, they probably think, like, you know, I'm just so worried about aesthetics. But, you know, I mean, all mothers, sometimes we let our physical go. But sometimes with the C-section, like, some mothers feel like they don't want that scar. Did you have a bad scar? How long did that take to, like, go down?
That is all on personal preference, because at the end of the day, I look at my scar in the mirror. I don't like it. I can cry sometimes just from looking at it. It's not something I like to look at. Personally, for me, it reminds me that that was the most
painful experience. It's okay, mama.
Aww. I thought I was gonna die. I've never felt like I was gonna die before. So I have really good nerves. And so when I go to the dentist and the doctors, they have to give me multiple shots instead of just one. They'd be having to give me 2 and 3, which numbs my whole face. And so when they gave me the epidural, I guess it didn't fully work. And then whatever they numbed me with, it didn't fully work. So they had to keep giving me more and more drip in that IV. By the time it finally kicked in, I was numb to my face. You're only supposed to be numb from the waist down. I kept telling the doctors I couldn't feel my face, and that I couldn't swallow my spit, and that I couldn't breathe. No, you're okay. Every mom feels this way. It literally felt like a jawbreaker was in my throat, bitch. It was like, I couldn't swallow. I was like. I was literally just praying in my head, Lord Jesus, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. I want to raise this baby. I want to raise this baby. I'll raise her by myself. I don't care. I'll raise her. Like, I was just petrified. And they were telling me everything I was experiencing was normal. I talked to other moms that got C-section.
Girl, just take a moment. Just take a moment. We're going to take a break with Leisha, and we're going to be back with her. Okay, so we're back with Leisha. As moms, we still get very emotional. It's hard for us. So, you know, you were just telling us about your horrid C-section birthing story. So, obviously, that was a painful experience, but would you have a baby again? Does that, like, your decision to have a baby? It does. You're not, like, affected, like, scared or traumatized? Like, this could happen again?
Well, the doctors tried to make it seem, well, not the doctors. Doctors and some people were like, oh, when you have a C-section, you have to keep having them. That is actually incorrect. My mom has 6 kids and not all of us were C-sections. Only some of us were C-sections and other were natural birth. And then also my auntie has 16 kids. Not all of her kids were C-section. I get what the doctors are saying.
You got to find a doctor.
I'm going to look at my genetics and my lineage. No offense. Like I said, African-American women and women of color in general tend to have stronger genetics to have birth the baby stuff. So not saying it like that, but look at my mom. She was on drugs and had 6 healthy kids. Like, so, but so I would have more kids because I've been told by multiple people, every birthing experience is not the same. You might have had a C-section the first time, but your second baby might be natural as hell. But once I seen how big my baby was and how healthy she was, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. Because she wasn't going to come out my vagina. My baby had a perfectly nice big old round head like her daddy. She would have probably slid out if her head was long and skinny like mine's. But she has a round head like her daddy. So I was like, damn, that would have been, you know, because our vagina opens 10 centimeters. That's exactly approximately the size of a bagel. Bitch, imagine our vaginas opening to a bagel size. That's a lot. So I was like, cool. I guess I'm kind of cool with it. And then some people say, oh, if you have a little vagina, it rips you to your asshole. I have like a Barbie vagina. It's very tiny. I don't want it to rip to my butthole. I don't want to get stitches to my butthole.
Pros and cons, like, girl.
Yeah.
I was so thankful, girl. My actual birthing experience was everything I manifested to. Didn't rip, no stitches.
Well, I didn't. Nothing. I didn't poop. I didn't rip, but I didn't want a C-section. And that's what I had. But I don't know, because I want to do it again just to be like, oh, now look, this was the birthing plan that happened.
Well, that's good you're not traumatized like me, because, girl, I'm one and done. All right, Leisha, it was really great having you on the show today. Like I said, I have to bring you back next week for Stripper Chronicles because, man, it's just some funny stories like I have to share with the world, and I know you got some too. Okay, so for all those that have just loved hearing from you, where can people find you or support you?
My Facebook page, Leisha Lacey. Feel free to follow me, like, share my reels. It's a bunch of miscellaneous shit. Instagram, I am The Dynasty, not the with 2 E's. Everything is spelled normal. No underscores, no periods. I know people like to get all fancy with their names. I am The Dynasty.
All right, well, we're going to take a break as I say goodbye to Leisha. Welcome back to Tiara Tuesdays. It is your girl, Tiara. I hope you guys have enjoyed this Mother's Day compilation that I put together. I hope that each one of these stories, all of the advice given today, just be patient and breathe. Those are really key for me, my takeaways. I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from these mothers. Please DM me and let me know who was your favorite mother. What was your favorite part of this segment? What did you really relate to? All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at TRLChristopher. I have not received a comment or review or rating on Apple Podcasts in a while. So if you guys can go on Apple Podcasts as well and give me a rating. I'm also on Spotify. Please rate your girls 5 stars. I really appreciate that. Again, I'm doing Parents Helping Parents. So if you know any families that are in need of my services, please send them my way. We're helping out one family quarterly. We have our third family set up for next month, but please send me a family that you feel like that's in great need and can benefit from Parents Helping Parents. Don't forget, if you need an electrician and you're anywhere in the Nevada area, Problem Solve has got you. We have all your electrical needs covered. It's hot as hell. I know you want some AC in your garage. Call me, find me on Yelp, find me on Google. I got you. When we come back, we're just gonna do some, just a quick I am affirmations because it was such a long show today. I'm just gonna do a couple for my moms out there right after this. When you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, one for herself and once for her child. Sophia Loren. Welcome back to the affirmation part of Tiara Tuesdays.
Today, we will just do a short affirmation to remind us that we are doing a good job. You are enough, mothers. Let's begin. I am a wonderful mother. I am a great mother to my baby. I am in love with my baby. I am blessed. I am happy. I am enough. I am doing enough. I am more than enough.